Thank you for downloading the Pawneeville Ranch podcast, brought to you by the staff of the Pawneeville Ranch.
Welcome to the Pawneeville Ranch podcast. I'm Erin Brown, Pawneeville Ranch curator.
And I'm Anna Davis, Pawneeville Ranch historical interpreter.
We're back, Anna.
We are.
We've taken more than a few months off. It's been a rough summer. Well, not really rough, but we're down an employee. We had an employee resign, and then due to state budget cuts, the Oklahoma Historical Society cut the position. So We've been unable to fill a position.
And we've been very busy with tours.
And we've been very busy with visitors, which is really great. Of course, we love our visitors, and we really pride ourselves on providing excellent visitor services. So when people are here, they're our priority. Mm-hmm. We don't have really time to do much anything else. But over the years, Anna, I would say that you and I collectively have given hundreds of tours through Pawneeville's mansion to thousands of people from all over the world. Tours through the home are a way that we as site employees can really integrate the art of storytelling into our site interpretation. We can communicate information and our history to our guests, not by just lecturing them, but by telling them stories.
Yeah, and one of the stories that we always try to incorporate into our tours is the story of Iron Tail, an Oglala Lakota who was once part of the Two Bill Show. Native Americans were an important part of Wild West Show history. You couldn't have Wild West shows without Native Americans. So we thought to celebrate Native American Heritage Month, we would dive straight into the life of one of the most famous Native performers. He is featured predominantly in the 1912 cast photo, which is enlarged and mounted on the back wall of the museum. And the picture can also be seen in an upstairs bedroom in the historic home.
With Iron Tail, as it is with many topics, once we mention something or someone, we can take the story in many different directions. For instance, we could use this time to talk a little bit more in depth about the Native American involvement in the Wild West shows in a really general way, or we could talk specifically about Iron Tail's personal life story, which is really fascinating. And that's what we've chosen to do today, is just really focus on his biography.
Yeah, even if you don't recognize the name Iron Tail, you will definitely know who he is when we get to the end of this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Iron Tail is an extremely important person in Wild West Show history, as he was one of the most recognizable figures in the arena. He had lead roles in many acts and became head of all Native performers at one point.
Yeah, we just found a quote from Buffalo Bill where he said that Iron Tail was one of the best people in the world, bar none. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an interesting...
High praise,
yeah. Iron Tail's story spans a very turbulent time in Native American history, as you'll see. We've discussed many times how hard life was on the road with the Wild West Show, but Native performers enjoyed a certain amount of freedom to express aspects of their culture that they did not have at home. It's a difficult subject, but it's one that is incredibly important to discuss, especially in relation to the Wild West shows.
Iron Tail's Lakota name was Sinte Maza, and he was born circa 1850. The popular legend is that his mother was watching a buffalo hunt one day when he was a baby, and she noticed that the buffaloes had their tails standing straight up like a piece of steel. She named her son Sinte Maza, which meant Iron Tail. And we've seen that many a time here at the Pawneeville Ranch. When the buffalo get worked up, boom, their tails go straight up in the air. When starting to research this podcast, I called the Oglala Lakota College, who put me in contact with Doug Bissonette, who is the Crazy Horse Family Estates Administrator. And he told me that Iron Tail was first cousin to Crazy Horse. Their fathers were brothers, and they both fought under Sitting Bull at the Battle of Little Bighorn in 1876. This was really news to me. I didn't know
that.
Yeah, I didn't
know they were related.
Working here all these years, I never knew that about Iron Tail. And he also pointed us to a really interesting piece of archival evidence, and that is the Crazy Horse Surrender Ledger. Iron Tail's name is on the Crazy Horse Surrender Ledger, and it was produced shortly after the battle in 1876 and 77, although Iron Tail used a fake name. He gave them a pseudonym, and it was a rather profane pseudonym.
Yes, it is.
That Anna and I would get fired for saying.
We can't say it, unfortunately. We had a good time looking at the surrender ledger because it is obvious that the men who gave this white census enumerator these names were either playing a practical joke on him or using names given to them by what's called a wink day. In Lakota society, the wink day was a male transvestite considered to have certain mystical powers, and these names were kind of obscene or scatological, and they were rarely used. These names were meant to be secret, although in some instances they would become more commonly used by an individual.
Whether these names were given intentionally to the Crazy Horse Surrender Ledger to pull one over on, you know, the white guy who was taking down their names, or whether these men used their actual Wincta names, they certainly give the ledger a humorous, spirited dimension. And if you really think about it, there were few ways that the Lakotas at this point could express their resistance to military control. And this is just one really hilarious way that they could resist.
Yeah, people think that history is stuffy, and it's really not.
But I can't help. Every time I think about it, I just crack up because I imagine the guy who's just writing down those names thinking, this is unfortunate.
Yeah. Irontail merges with our story in 1902 when he joined Buffalo Bill's Wild West show and became known for leading the attack on the Deadwood stage at most of the performances. At the beginning of the 1905 season in Paris, he became the head of all Native American cast members. He was feted by European aristocracy in Italy and England. He made for a very striking figure in his long war bonnet. He was very dark complected, and he had distinctive facial features. The program for the Paris show refers to him as queue de fer, which is actually Iron Tail in French, so they actually refer to him as Iron Tail. It is interesting to note that we found his wife and son coming back from Antwerp on the Zeeland ship in October of 1906 with many other Native performers from the Wild West show. It was an Ellis Island record, no less. You can actually search it online through the Ellis Island website. And we know that Iron Tail was married with a small son by the time he was performing.
This is a really great example of what was a common occurrence for Native performers in the Wild West show, and that was that Native performers traveled with their entire family. Whether they went to Europe or whether they were traveling all over the United States, the families went along, and they would erect a teepee in the back lot when they weren't performing so they could kind of hang out and rest and relax in what was, to them, retaining part of their cultural identity.
Yeah, and it wasn't uncommon to get married on the road, to have children on the road, to die on the road. So it was kind of this
life
big
happened on the
circle
road
of life in the Wild West show. Mm-hmm.
And in my conversations with Mr. Bissonnette, he told me that the Lakota believed that Iron Tail had another wife, which would have not been uncommon. He probably had multiple wives because polygamy was practiced. And he believed that one of his wives was non-Native and probably Caucasian. We couldn't find anything about her, unfortunately. There's not a lot in history that talks about his spouses, his wives. However, there's a couple of photographs of some of them that survived today. What we do know about Iron Tail is that he loved children, and he was really good with entertaining children, and particularly fond of being with his friends and their families.
Iron Tail was also with the combined show when Buffalo Bill and Pawnee Bill merged tours, and he was with them from 1908 to 1913, so the entire span of the show. He was wildly entertaining. From what we've heard, he was very charismatic, and he had this great personality, and he was an expert storyteller who would relate to those gathered stories told in sign language and pantomime. He also, from all accounts, had an amazing sense of humor. It certainly endeared him to Wild West show performers. Buffalo Bill considered him one of his best friends. Iron Tail is extremely important when we talk about Wild West show history because he was one of the few American Indians individually featured in posters, show couriers, heralds, and programs. He was instantly recognizable, and people came to the shows just to see him. He was very charismatic, and even though he spoke very little English, he could still tell an engaging story to those around him. He was a bona fide star.
American Indian involvement in the Wild West shows is a complicated and messy story, as it is the case with much of history. There was kind of an ambivalent attitude towards Native performers and associated print material, kind of a disconnect. Mm-hmm. American Indians in the arena were portrayed as the other, as dangerous, warlike. They were kind of portrayed as uncivilized. On the other hand, they received top billing right alongside the cowboy by marketers, and their portraits portrayed them as being warm and portrayed them as being stoic with compelling features that were supposed to convey pride and intentionally convey dignity. As historians, we spend much of our time looking back at the past with our current perspective. A lot of the source material that we have from this time is certainly offensive by our modern standard. However, there were those that understood that Native Americans deserved an important part in the history of Wild West shows, and such was the case with many of the creators of the posters of Iron Tail.
By all accounts, Iron Tail really liked having his likeness out there. Historically, some Lakota did not like having their pictures taken, as we see with Crazy Horse. But Iron Tail was very proud of the fact that he was on show posters and he was in photographs. He had no trouble posing for professional portraits by photographers. Gertrude Kayserbeer, who would make an excellent podcast subject one day, she's a very interesting woman, took many of his most recognizable photographs. She began a photography project in the 1890s to capture the dignity of the Native Americans. She had actually seen them parading to Madison Square Garden with the Buffalo Bill Wild West show, and kind of the rest was history. She convinced Iron Tail to let her take a photograph of him without his regalia on in order to capture, quote-unquote, the raw image of him. Her goal was to present Native Americans as people with individuality and character. However, Iron Tail was said to be upset with this original photograph. He considered it too dark for his liking, so he tore it up, and she photographed him again in his full regalia, and we will actually post some links to these photographs on our Facebook feed because they are absolutely mm-hmm. beautiful.
She was such a talented photographer, and it's very fascinating because she was a woman, mm-hmm. And not many women were venturing into this field.
No. And her subject was Native Americans, which was almost unheard of.
Exactly. So she's definitely someone that we want to know more about. But Iron Tail really liked getting his photograph taken, unlike his cousin Crazy Horse, who apparently was opposed to it. But there's one great exception to this rule. During the 1905 season, Iron Tail was traveling with Buffalo Bill's show when the show went to Genoa, Italy, the birthplace of Christopher Columbus. I guess someone suggested to Iron Tail that he stand by the statue of Columbus and get his photograph taken. He refused.
Oh,
he told press agent John Burke, "You know what? Indians don't like Columbus. And there's no way that I'm going to have my photograph taken with this guy."
It's offensive on so many levels.
So neither Iron Tail nor any of the Native performers in the show would have their photograph taken with Christopher Columbus. And I just think that's such a great anecdote.
Iron Tail was a very striking looking man, and it's really understandable why people would want to take his photograph and why the promoters of the show would want him predominantly featured. After 1913, the billing for the shows called him, quote, "the Indian chief that made the nickel famous." There were two, possibly three Native Americans that posed for the nickel. The other two models were Two Moons, a Northern Cheyenne who also fought at the Battle of Little Bighorn, and Big Tree, a Seneca who was a silent movie actor. James Earl Frazier designed the nickel and verified that Iron Tail was one of his main models. Now, it's an interesting side note, but the Miller brothers claimed that the buffalo used to create the bison on the nickel was one of theirs. And we don't know if that's true, but that's always what they claimed. The United States minted the buffalo nickel from 1913 to 1938. It's a wonderful piece of Americana, and people still enjoy collecting them today.
Right. And what we're finding more and more is that younger people, kids, have never seen a buffalo nickel.
Nope.
So it's a fun way to tell them the story of Iron Tail and show them a nickel at the same time.
Yeah. When you mention Iron Tail on tour, people instantly say, "Oh, I've got some of those in my jewelry box at home." And so it becomes like a family event to go back home mm-hmm. and look at the nickels because some people have never seen them before.
So when Pawnee Bill and Buffalo Bill's show ended in 1913, Iron Tail joined the Miller Brothers 101 Ranch and perform with them until his death on May 28th, 1916. Iron Tail passed away from pneumonia at the age of 74 while in Philadelphia with the 101 Ranch show. He was placed at St. Luke's Hospital and left alone while the show moved on to the next city. Unfortunately, when a show was on a schedule, there wasn't time to stop for an injured or ill performer.
No, that was pretty common. It wasn't an exception of any time, of any way.
Right, the show had to go on.
Yeah,
so if they had to perform, they had to perform, and you were left in the hospital.
Yeah, and his friends were a little concerned that he was in a strange city with people who didn't know him.
Right, so they purchased a ticket to take him back to the Black Hills, where he could receive medical care in a familiar environment. But unfortunately, when a Pullman car worker went to wake him up just outside South Bend, Indiana, it was discovered that Iron Tail had passed away in his sleep. He was buried at the Holy Rosary Mission Cemetery at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation on June 3, 1916. His friend Buffalo Bill made a promise that he would put a granite stone on Iron Tail's grave in the shape of a buffalo nickel. Unfortunately, Buffalo Bill passed away on January 10th, 1917, 6 months later, and he wasn't able to keep his promise to his friend. At Buffalo Bill's funeral, though, Wild West Show performers placed buffalo nickels on his grave in memory of his relationship with Iron Tail.
We hope that you enjoyed our podcast in celebration of Native American Heritage Month. It's the first time that we've really explored a Native American topic on the podcast, and it was certainly a great experience for both of us. So we would like to give a huge thank you to Doug B. Sinet and the members of the Oglala Lakota College for their help. We hope that we're back next month with another topic. If you like to party it up for Christmas, we are having a party on December the 12th.
Right. We're going to have all our Santas of the world in the mansion. They'll be stationed in various rooms, and they're dressed really beautifully and historically accurately, portraying Santas from different areas of the world, and they'll tell their stories. So it's just a really wonderful opportunity to see the mansion decorated beautifully. There'll be
free food beforehand
at noon. If you want to get here a little early, we'll offer a free light lunch in our barn, and the wonderful Cowboy Jim Garling will provide entertainment during the meal, and then you can just scoot on over to the mansion and hear the Santas. This beautifully restored Steinway will also be playing in the background. So we just encourage you to come. It's our way of saying thank you to the community for supporting us throughout the year. So until then, I'm Erin Brown.
And I'm Anna Davis. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The Pawneeville Ranch is owned and operated by the Oklahoma Historical Society. For more information, go to www.pawneevilleranch.com or find us on Facebook under Pawneeville Ranch and Museum.